This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And it comes to Knipple, as coach projected. Over to the left side and Flag, 13 seconds. Flag to work against Roberts, trying to back him down. Curls into the paint, fadeaway jumper, short, rebound underneath. Malik Wilson of Houston gives it off. Now to Cryer. Cryer is fouled. 3 seconds to play. Cryer is fouled. He'll march to the other end for 2 free throws.
Thank you to the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. I know we got the national championship game tonight, but we're still talking about Duke's collapse on Saturday night. Perloff, welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And it was an all-timer. It really was. Duke was up 14 with 8:03 to play, up 9 with 2:06 to play, up 6 with 34 seconds to play. They were outscored 85-8 in the final 8:02 and outscored 9-0 in the final half minute or so. And this is something that I think is going to stay with John Shire much longer than Cooper Flagg, but it's going to stay with both of them. They'll get past it at some point, but they'll never get over it.
Yeah, I mean, is it Chris Webber bad? Chris Webber calling the timeout when he was at Michigan against North Carolina? I don't think, because there's not one moment. What is the moment? The moment almost feels like the ticky-tack over the back call in Cooper Flagg, or maybe Cooper Flagg's last shot that missed. I'm not sure that it's going to go down as, you know, there's not one image that you can stick with. Yeah, it was definitely a choke job. I don't know how history views this, if it sticks as an all-timer. I think you could be right, but I don't think it's as bad as C-Web.
I don't think anything is as bad as C-Web. As far as like one specific thing, I'd have to really think about that. You know, Chris Webber, I think that did follow him through some of his NBA career. Like if you played word association, you say Chris Webber before you say Western Conference Finals with the Sacramento Kings, I think you say timeout.
But he wasn't actually, no, I love Chris Webber, but he wasn't great in the NBA. If he had won a couple NBA titles, then it would be a different conversation.
Well, if he won a couple NBA titles, I think we'd forget about it. And that's the thing, or we wouldn't think about it as much.
Yeah, that's
and
a
good I think
point.
That's where kind of Cooper Flagg, even though it's not a moment, I get what you're saying. And that over the back call was absolute BS. But I think this stays with you because you kind of are on one path where people are looking at you as this like amazing winner. It's like he's young and he's player of the year and he's playing for Duke and he's going to be the number one overall pick and it's up, 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 up. And then all of a sudden it's not just losing. Just losing happens. We see guys lose all the time. It has nothing to do with their NBA futures.
Right.
But losing in this way, in such a memorable collapse, I do think stays with you longer than just,
but,
does anyone remember when Kevin Durant lost in the first round of the tournament? Like, not really. But you remember
but Cooper
this.
Cooper didn't collapse. It was the whole team, though. That's the thing. And Cooper actually had, if you want to look at an NBA resume game, he went against the Houston Cougars and beat them up for 30 minutes. I mean, he made them look like little kids. And those are grown men. He was amazing on Saturday night. Let's not forget that. I know he missed some shots, but he had some great, great moments.
Yeah. Yes,
he's definitely the best player on the court.
No, I don't think he's wearing it individually like Chris Webber did, no doubt. But he also, is someone who's projected to be this generational talent in the NBA, and he couldn't put the team on his back when they really needed him.
He scored 27 points against Houston. And this is a team that held a very, very good Tennessee team to 50 points. Cooper Flagg had more than half of that on his own.
Prof, the team had one field goal in the last 8 minutes of the game.
I know, but that's not all on Cooper Flagg. I think, obviously, the team did not really have they didn't have a solid point guard. They were kind of a mess.
Yeah, but we weren't saying that when they were the odds-on favorite to win the title.
Right, but I mean, Cooper Flagg was definitely awesome on Saturday night. And everybody who says differently, I just disagree. I think Cooper Flagg had a better tournament than some people expected. He was coming in with the bum ankle, and he didn't dominate every game, but when he wanted to dominate, he was pretty dominant. He's very, very good, obviously. If I'm in the lottery, man, I'm hoping that the commissioner freezes that envelope, as they were, and just gets me Cooper Flagg. I think his stock is actually higher after this tournament than it was. Again, he was coming in with a bit of an injury, so it was different. But I think a lot of people got to see him and were like, whoa! Especially when he had that dunk early against Houston. Even to me, I mean, he's explosive. He's explosive and young. I'm all about Cooper Flagg right now, and I want my Philadelphia 76ers wearing the hat right now. I want them to win this lottery and bring another Cooper to Philadelphia.
Oh, boy. 888-710-4ISN. The rest of the show does not want that. Let's just be clear. You've got your Eagles are already the champs. You really need the 76ers now to win the lottery. I mean, has Philadelphia really earned that, I ask you?
It's called a lottery. You don't earn a lottery.
Sure.
It's random luck, Maggie.
You just said freeze the envelope. here's a question. Is this going to stay with Cooper Flagg into his NBA career? Again, guys lose in the NCAA tournament. They do. I mean, we watched an all-time heartbreaker, Derrick Rose, Memphis. Oh, my goodness. It doesn't get any worse than that. I mean, Memphis against Kansas is an all-time amazing championship game where the script got completely flipped around.
But
Mario Chalmers with the shot, and history is different. And Derrick Rose, without the won an MVP and without the injuries, would have had this amazing career, would not have stayed with him. I don't know.
Wasn't he good in that game? I can't remember.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah, he missed some free throws, though. He missed the big free throws.
Yeah, but I think that anything. He took Memphis to the
John
final
Calipari.
Game. Yeah, I know,
that Memphis team was loaded.
Nobody looks at it said as a detriment Derrick Rose's college career. Even losing that game, that would be someone hit a buzzer beater. What are you supposed to do about that?
Well, I'm just wondering if this is going to stay with Cooper Flagg into the NBA, because now you can't say he's coming to the NBA as a winner, you know?
But this generally, look at all the MVP candidates and the leading scorers. None of them did anything in the NCAA tournament.
Most of them came from Europe.
I'm looking at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander did nothing. Anthony Edwards did nothing. Tatum was a disappointment. Durant lost. Durant, was he hurt? Did he even play in the tournament?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, Booker did nothing. Cade Cunningham did nothing. Damian Lillard.
They didn't make the tournament.
Weaver State.
Yeah. So obviously.
But Giannis, Jokic, guys.
I just did the top 10 scores, and none of them even did anything in the tournament. Jason Tatum made the Sweet 16, did he?
I think he got knocked out of the second round, I thought.
Yeah, generally, there's clearly no correlation between being awesome in the NBA and NCAA tournament. It's just not in the modern era.
I'm not saying that he won't be awesome. I'm asking if it's going to follow him. Chris Webber got in the Hall of Fame with one of the biggest blunders in the history of sports.
I think Cooper Flagg's going to have a lot of hype around the draft.
Well, of course he is.
I think
it's a little more muted now. If he had won the national title and then you're like, whoa, and then he's the number one overall pick, that's something we just haven't seen.
I do think there's
going to
be
Anthony Davis.
I think there's going to be a white superstar effect of Cooper Flagg. I think in the NBA, to ignore that would be I think he's going to get a lot of hype. That's all I will say.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to deny that. And the Duke factor,
from Duke. Zion got a lot of hype coming out of Duke.
All of it plays in. I'm asking if this collapse is going to stay with them. Because I'll tell you this, it's going to stay with Shire. Now, Shire doesn't move on to the NBA like Flagg and get a whole new team and a whole new teammates. But, Shire now has to pick up the pieces here. A loss last year to NC State. Now it's a collapse against Houston. And forgive me, because it happened a couple, an hour or so ago in the chat. I forgot who said this. It said John Shire skipped the line and it showed. That's damning. Now, I don't know if I could go that far. I think Shire, we've been blowing smoke for the last 2 weeks. I can't say now all of a sudden he sucks, but he was not good in this game. And Calvin Sampson, who granted is 30 years older than him about thereabouts, coached the pants off him in the last 10 minutes of that game. That's it. That's the truth. So he's going to have the harder time, I think.
But Calvin Sampson had 23-year-olds and and John Shire had 18-year-olds.
They were the odds-on favorite.
I understand, but that's a mistake.
They didn't come in as David here against Houston's Goliath. It was the other way around.
Well, I'm just saying he had a bunch of young. I mean, he had, and by the way, and his old guys panicked too. Tyrese Proctor.
Yeah.
So I mean,
Zion James.
Zion James could get the ball in bounds.
He's 23 years old.
I just think that Calvin Sampson had a natural advantage because his guys, I mean, we said LJ Cryer had already been in a national title game 5 years ago.
Yeah.
There was a lot going. And that being said, this was a bit fluky. No, was there a fluke element to this?
I don't think so, because Houston's defense is not fluky. And by the way,
Andy Cassius said, they got a little luck. The fact that guy hit the free throws, the fact that they called that on flag, it was a little fluky.
The over-the-back call was bad. But here's the thing. People still don't believe in Houston. They opened as a 1.5-point favorite, and the public bet Florida -1. They bet it all the way to the other side. Now, it wasn't like a 7-point swing, but you get what I'm saying. Like, there's still a doubt on Houston. And by the way, Houston and San Antonio are 3 hours away from each other or thereabouts. You know, who do you think all these Duke and Auburn fans are going to be selling their tickets to? Probably not people in Gainesville who would have to get on a flight. As opposed to now half of Houston is going to be taken off of work today to go watch the national title game. This could be like a home game for Houston.
Yeah, to me, there's no logic of how Florida has gotten here necessarily because they probably should have lost twice in this tournament already. But they're just like Houston. They're unbelievably good in the last 10 minutes of a game. And I think part of that is Walter Clayton so clutch. This game, I actually am leaning Florida. If Duke had won this game, then my bracket would have been top 10. Kaplan would have won the whole thing, I think, but maybe possibly he has Florida, but I had Florida beating Duke. I was moving up. So I was I hate Duke, but I was a little crushed by that aspect.
It's all about Perloff's bracket.
Yeah. I mean, you have guys ever have that where I actually filled out Duke out of spite, and then I was spite tweeting Duke. I'm like, Duke looks unstoppable. Let's just resign ourselves to them winning.
The amount of mind games that you go through watching a game, like I can't even get
there. But everybody knows that basically your approach to the game determines the outcome. Where you stand, whether you go to the kitchen and
you don't listen to the sound, right?
Oh, I can't. It's too stressful. You determine what you eat based on how the Bills are doing.
Definitely. And the treadmill. You forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
Which I could use a little more treadmill. I wish the Bills season would start tomorrow.
Go Bills.
Let's get to the movie sequel bracket. By the way, if you want to call in on Duke, 888-710-4ISN. Give you the number. All right, guys. We're not just down to the championship game for men's college hoops. We're down to the championship game for the Maggie and Perloff movie sequel bracket. And we are chalkity chalk chalk. The number one seeds that are going to be facing off in the championship. First up, Godfather 2.
I've learned that I have the strength to change. And you'll forget about this miscarriage. And we'll have another child. And we'll go on. You and I will go on.
Oh, Michael. Michael, you are blind. It wasn't a miscarriage. It was an abortion. An abortion, Michael. Just like our marriage is an abortion. Something that's unholy and evil.
Wow.
Just unbelievable there.
Not something you want to tell the Godfather.
That was a gut-wrenching scene. They're all good. That's why it's in the running for the greatest movie sequel of all time. So The Godfather 2 squares off in the championship game against Star Wars Empire Strikes Back.
What about union?
I know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Probably do.
And what precisely am I supposed to know?
Come on. You want me to stay because of the way you feel about me?
Yes! You're a great help to us. You're a natural leader.
No! That's not it. Come on. Come on.
You're imagining things.
Am I? Then why are you following me? Fredo's gonna leave without giving you a goodbye kiss?
I just assumed he's a Wookiee.
I can arrange that. You can use a good kiss!
Wasn't Carrie Fisher, how old was she in Empire Strikes Back? Very young, right?
Probably because she was around a long time.
She's no longer with us, right?
Yeah, she passed away. She was 22 years old.
How old was Harrison Ford? He was probably a little older.
He was older because he didn't get discovered until he was a little bit older.
Yeah, he was in American Graffiti right before that. It was his first role, I think.
All right, guys.
There you go.
Voting is open.
Can we get... I'm sorry. And I'm going to... I begged you to do this at the break. Can we just talk about that list you had? Because I am so mad at you right now, Maggie.
You're really mad.
You hate the movie Bohemian Rhapsody about Queen. Do you know that Rami Malek won the Oscar for Best Actor?
Listen,
he beat the best actors in the world. That it's not a bad movie. I understand what you're saying, that it's not as critical as it should be. But it was awesome. He got to play it Live Aid. The Queen movie is good.
Okay.
Me and Jay in Nashville are in sync on this one.
He said I was smoking angel dust, I believe is what Jay said. No, no angel dust.
Angel dust. Not even crack,
no.
Angel dust.
I don't know what's stronger, but I'm not on either. You can have a great individual performance and still be a bad movie. Cooper Flagg could have a good game and Duke could blow the final four. Same. I felt the movie was not good. And here's my general problem. When anyone who's involved, who actually lived the story, is involved in the making of the story, I think it's generally a recipe for bad news. Like, the Queen themselves had a heavy hand in how the story is being told. And I don't think you want the dirty laundry really airing out in the way, that's compelling.
I thought there was a lot of dirty laundry. Of course, the key is he contracted HIV and was really sad. It
was
not an upbeat movie.
At the end, by the way,
dude was a mess the entire movie. He was a drug addict. He had no friends. He pushed the band away. They had enough in there. And besides, they did the Live Aid stuff at the end. I thought it was good. I'm looking at other biopics. Like, the musician always has to sign off. The recent one, Dylan had to sign off on the Timothée Chalamet movie.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. I like Walk the Line a lot better. I think 8 Mile was better.
Well, not,
I thought Selena
Mile,
was
way,
better.
Eminem had a heavy hand in 8 Mile.
Yeah, but it was good. I did like it.
And Selena. You don't think Selena's family had everything to do with the movie Selena, by the way, which was awesome.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
Yeah. No, those are better, but that doesn't mean that you're talking about really, really good movies.
Apparently, there's a really good one about Elvis.
You mean the
Kurt Russell playing Elvis. I've never seen this before. So there you go.
Did you like the Elvis movie? Or I don't know if you saw that one.
I did see it.
I did not, because of Tom Hanks. Oh, God, was that awful. Sorry.
People did not like him as the...
I liked Austin Butler, but Tom Hanks as the Colonel was hard for me.
You mean Woody? Woody from Toy Story?
Tom Hanks is great. This movie was not...
We will not mention the biopics on Tupac or Biggie either.
Notorious made this list. Rolling Stone is a list of the top 30 music biopics of all time, and Notorious... slid right in like 28.
Notorious is very hit or miss. There's some good, a lot of cringe.
You know what was a top five for them?
Give us a few on this list.
Out of Compton.
Awesome. Classic.
The NWA one.
With our buddy O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Yeah, playing his dad. Number one on this list is I'm Not There from 2007.
Which is so weird because it's a total art film that I've seen 1,000 times that nobody except me has ever liked. But it's got, Cate Blanchett plays Bob Dylan, and it's unbelievable. Heath Ledger.
Yeah, great. It's Cate Blanchett, Richard Gere, Heath Ledger, Christian Bale. They all portray Bob Dylan in different ways.
Yeah, it's a really creative film that is not a biopic, but anyway.
Two, according to their list, is Bird, a movie from 1988 about Charlie Parker, the jazz legend.
Was that Forrest Whitaker?
It absolutely was.
Yeah.
And it was Clint Eastwood as the director. This Elvis movie in 1979.
Don't know that one.
A John Carpenter direct made-for-TV movie. Apparently is really good about Elvis.
Okay.
Sid and Nancy is number four.
Yep.
And five is the Buddy Holly story. So there you go.
Which is, I actually
Gary Busey.
Recently watched. Don't ask me why. I watched it on YouTube because I'm fascinated with Buddy Holly. Kind of invented rock and roll. But that's an old one. Yeah, it's Straight Out of Compton. That was fun. Now, Rocket Man is an interesting one. Elton John, people did not like that.
Didn't make the list.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I'm a sucker. But EJ, you said another rock biopic getting nominated for an Oscar. It is kind of a formula.
Definitely. I'm not mad at it, because they have their stuff and it's cool, but there's other movies that should also get that same respect. That's all I'm saying.
I got to go on La Bamba with Lou Diamond Phillips.
Great movie. He's Richie Valens
Richie Valens. In part because the song is so awesome. Like, who doesn't like that?
888-710-4ISN. Okay, on Mondays, we do the M&P 500. Whose stock is up and whose stock is down after a big weekend? We get to that next. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Perloff was supposed to say that part, but you're on your phone again. I'm sorry. Oh. Are you distracted? There's a show going on.
People are sending us on social media Cooper Flag NBA comparisons. I'm sorry I got distracted.
Well, I hope when you are looking at your phone like that, at least today we're in the studio, when you're driving your car and driving your daughters around, I hope you're not glued to the phone like you are right now.
Oh, absolutely. And even with a topic like that, which I'm dying to find out in the car, it's a different story.
Yeah, I hope that you put the phone down when you're in the car because this stuff is serious.
Absolutely. And you, I know you were really good with that because every time we're on a production call, you're like, well, I have to get in the car. I can't continue this now. You're very, very disciplined, which we appreciate. Of course, using your phone while driving could kill someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA. By the way, if you want to hear some of those, I could share. All Scotty right. Barnes.
Give us your
Scotty
comps.
Barnes is a player comp for Cooper Flag.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's actually kind of a good one.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Van Horn, we got two of those now. Then there's just some random white guys. Steve Mix, former 76er. I think that was 6'8 white guy. That had nothing in common with Cooper Flag other than that.
I think Bobby Jones, a guy a little more well-known.
What's that?
Yeah. Could go a little more well-known, Bobby Jones.
I mean, yeah, there's 100 other white guys.
Steve Mix could had a good jump shot. Bobby Jones was not a good offensive player. Anyway, that's just my take. Yeah.
Keep them coming.
Keep them coming. I swear I will pay attention to the show now. The phone is away.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. Let's get to the M&P 500.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
All right. We do this every Monday. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down after a big weekend? Pearl, start us off.
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot, arguably, that happened this weekend. Basketball, of course. There was a Colorado Pro Day. But I think everyone knows what the lead story off this weekend was. A certain team beat an undefeated Dodgers. Go Phillies! Phillies take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. This is a huge accomplishment. You guys are sleeping on the Philadelphia Phillies. The Dodgers couldn't be beat, you said, Maggie. And they beat them. God, it's gotten to the point where they win on Friday and I had to hold back to not text all of you guys saying, told you. Because let's face it, the Phillies are it right now.
I love these April series. You know, these are really the ones that count.
But beating the Dodgers right now in baseball is something special because they're so good, although they had more injuries. And Shohei didn't do anything.
Yeah, how about Blake Snell now on the IL? So that's a little stock down or stock medium. You can't even tell these days.
EJ made me laugh, though, saying, how did I root? Was I crushed by my Dodgers losing?
Yeah, how do you root against your favorite team?
don't worry. They'll get Clayton Kershaw back very soon.
Meanwhile, Atlanta Braves, 1-8 now. We talked about whether or not they'd be able to come back from this.
That's something peace to all my ops.
All the Mets and Phillies fans can agree on. The Braves, Braves losing is a little bit like Duke losing.
Yeah, does everyone celebrate? Maybe.
Definitely.
No, I don't think. No, it's not quite the same.
National League Duke.
Braves, and that's a sign of respect for the Braves, by the way. It's not because we just hate the Braves. They're just, they never go away. Yeah. They're so good.
Michael Myers, they can't be killed. My stock up has to go to Vlad Guerrero Jr., so I'll stay with baseball. Who says you can't negotiate? These deadlines means absolutely nothing. Vlad said, I'm not going to negotiate in the season. And the team said, how about $500 million? And he said, where do I sign? So that's going to keep him in Toronto. And to be fair, this is really big for Toronto because they've been striking out on some of these bigger free agents. Mm. Remember, they were in on Shohei. They weren't able to get him. I don't know if they ever really had a chance with Shohei. Same thing with Juan Soto. I don't know if they ever had a chance, but meanwhile,
Pete Alonso,
same. Their homegrown guy, they keep. Vlad Guerrero Jr., born in Canada because Vlad Sr. was playing there, and now he's going to be a Blue Jay for forever. So that's really cool. Stock up for the Blue Jays and for Vlad.
Okay, I'll do a stock down. Playoff seating. I don't know if you guys read this. The NFL does want officially to change their playoff seating, but I read why this weekend. It's because Roger Goodell wants to increase the ratings by messing with the playoff ratings. Immediately, I'm sorry, when I read like kind of behind the scenes, it's not about competitive balance or anything. It's about Goodell wanting better ratings.
How do they get better ratings? The ratings are already amazing. What more can they do?
Well, because they're trying to sell these everything to somebody. So it just felt like, oh God, it's not even competitive. It's getting a new package for some multimedia company, just like the Christmas games.
Yep.
They're trying to, now I heard, group all the Christmas games together and sell them to Amazon or something. I don't know. The whole thing just felt so seedy to me. Apparently, Roger Goodell's pushing two things. He really wants the Tush Push gone, and he wants the playoffs to be reseeded. And it's all about ratings.
Why does he want the Tush Push gone?
I think he thinks it's aesthetically an ugly play, and I think he thinks it slows down the game. So anything that helps the TV product. Because, again, he's trying to do another record deal with a tech company. So I think that's why. That's my opinion, but boo Roger Goodell. Boo.
Perloff's going to go to Green Bay just to boo him. Meanwhile, your team is, you know, reigning Super Bowl champs. Like, life is good. This is as good as it gets.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, that's tradition. I would love to boo Roger Goodell. And actually, I don't even think he minds at this point, right?
I don't know. My stock down, Pittsburgh Pirates. I know they're going to make it right now, but this is an all-time blunder here by the organization, where they've had the Roberto Clemente number 21 has been in the outfield, the logo, since 2022, I guess they put it out there. It's been on the right field wall. And number 21, excuse me, since 2022. And they, I guess in what they're alleging was an oversight, they took it down and put up an advertisement for Surfside Vodka.
I'm just laughing at what an idiotic sponsor that is.
It's just, it could have been anything.
They didn't let anybody know.
Didn't let anybody know, didn't say anything. The Clemente's family was completely blindsided by this. And, you know, he's one of the greatest parts of your franchise. And legendary, iconic, gone too soon. I mean, all the things you say about Roberto Clemente embodied everything that we hope to be as humans, let alone a baseball player. And the fact they covered up his logo with a advertisement for vodka, or anything for that matter, is shameful. They are making it right, though, but still, they get a big stock down.
Absolutely. That is not good. Do we have time for one more round of stock up?
Go ahead.
I'm going to steal it from you because I think you were into it, too. The Elijah Martin dunk.
No.
My favorite part is if you look at the stills, the images of them, he's got it. There's like 10 feet between him and the ground when that guy gets up. I don't know if he's an NBA prospect or anything. He sure looks explosive to me. But, man, those dunks were amazing. And I'm a big dunk guy, so you knew I enjoyed it.
You know, one type of dunk that's underrated is when you think the guy's going for the layup, and second, like, the turbo boosters kick in, and then they just throw down a dunk. That it's like the unexpected dunk,
yep.
And it was just so violent.
Yeah, I relate to that as a player.
I'm sure you do. Let's hear it. No, we don't hear. Oh, you looked at me like, yes. I thought maybe we had the highlight. Anyway, we get back to me. Stock up. I mean, does it have to be Paige Bueckers? After not fulfilling the promise of winning a championship, where she was one of the great players coming out of high school and the next thing for UConn, injuries and some other things, she kept getting to the Final Four, but she wasn't able to break through. Finally breaks through, and not just that, but dominating fashion against South Carolina. It was her, it was Sarah Strong, and it was AZ Fudd. But really, this was a Paige Bueckers, like, again, like fulfilling her destiny. So stock up for Paige. Couldn't get any higher. But
I do actually one more literal stock down. It feels like Shedeur Sanders' quarterback stock briefly went up on Friday, and now it seems by Sunday, when all the insiders got on it, that he has gone down a little bit. It feels like Shedeur is not a favorite to go in the top three. I'm just getting that vibe only based on watching guys like Jeremy Fowler and Adam Schefter on the telecast, that it feels like the Giants either they're putting out a smokescreen or would be content not taking Shedeur Sanders. So that's literally a stock down.
Literally, and we've got a couple weeks to go before the
draft. Not too far down, but...
Well, we'll see. How far does he fall? Okay, last one from me. Do you guys remember Fire Festival? We've been talking about music biopics. This was an incredible documentary about a festival that was a big farce. It was a big scam. And the guy who was creating the festival, Billy McFarlane, ended up going to jail because of how many people he ripped off. Okay, he's out of jail. And he is, of course, creating Fire Festival 2. Well, over the weekend, it's supposed to happen in Playa del Carmen in Mexico. And over the weekend, Mexican officials said that this isn't happening. So it looks like history repeating itself, that this whole thing is going to be a scam yet again. Now, I'm going to ask you guys, if you haven't seen the story, I'm going to give you all a guess. The creator of the festival is saying not only DJs and rap stars and reggae artists and pop stars, there also are going to be professional athletes who attend the festival.
Right.
And one Super Bowl champion is scheduled to appear.
Current Super Bowl champion?
What do you mean current?
Like
someone who won a Super Bowl.
Oh, I thought you meant like the guys who won last.
Not an Eagle.
Okay. A Super Bowl champion.
A Super Bowl champion is scheduled to appear at the Fire Festival 2. I'll give you one guess. Everybody gets a guess. Did you look it up?
No.
Okay.
But there's so many.
There's only one.
There's one.
One Super Bowl
Think about
champion.
Scams and like somebody who would get involved in something that's untoward or that would just, you'd be like, oh,
Bill
right.
Belichick. I was going for Goofy Party Boy. My guess is Gronk.
That was my guess in the break.
Oh, funny. If you say scam, Brett Favre and Antonio Brown jumped in my mind.
Oh, my goodness.
Antonio Brown never won one.
My bonus guess is
Lawrence Taylor. Wait, Antonio Brown did win one. What?
Lawrence Taylor is my guess.
Oh, God.
Not at all. No,
scams and being involved in weird stuff.
Did Brown win one in Tampa Bay? He did, right? He was there. Was he there or did he come after the Super Bowl?
All right, well, Perloff, you got it. It's Antonio Brown. Yes, he did win a Super Bowl. It is Antonio Brown. He says he's performing at Fyre Festival, too. And if this isn't the most on brand for a disgraced music festival, why don't we add a disgraced former player?
By the way, I would not call Antonio Brown a Super Bowl champion just because he glommed on with Tampa Bay. The bulk of his career, that's like calling Gary Payton an NBA champion. Close to it.
Well, Gary did win one with the Miami Heat, but I get what you're saying.
That was a bit of a deceiving. If you had said a crazy athlete, then we all would have gone into it.
Call me Mr. Big Chef.
That's how they're billing him.
Super yeah, I mean, champ. Listen, I think he was, I hate to say this, was he part of the presidential campaign? I think he was.
Yeah, no, he spoke. He and Le'Veon. Anyway, so there you go. Stock down for all those people, by the way, if that wasn't clear. Bogus has headlines for us.
Let's we all know Firefest. Firefest, of course, because our buddies at Part of My Take do every week they do what's their Firefest of the week.
Oh, just so what's the big nothing
yeah, the
burger?
Big, yeah, yeah. Fire with a Y. Yes. What's the big the disaster? What went wrong? But I had no idea they were doing number two. And it ended up the same way. That's amazing.
According to Mexican officials, this thing is not happening. According to the festival organizer, it is happening. So...
Lo siento, Billy.
Who should we trust? This guy's going to end up back in jail, by the way. He can't help himself.
Oh, absolutely. Book that.
Bogues, you're up, sir.
I'm sorry. I'm stuck in this.
You are a music festival guy.
Yeah, not Firefest 1 through 9 I wouldn't go to.
Talk about bad sequels.
What about Mr. Big Chess's performance?
Pass. The NFL...
What if he was opening for Dave Matthews?
Yeah, if he opens for Dave, we'll talk. NFL offseason hitting another mile marker today with the Jets, Bears, and Patriots beginning their offseason workout programs. Teams with new head coaches get a head start on the rest of the league with these. The Raiders and Jaguars get rolling tomorrow. The Cowboys and Saints on Monday. Those Raiders expected to release corner Jack Jones after failing to trade him. This will save Vegas $3.4 million towards the cap. Maggie mentioned recently Vlad Guerrero Jr. staying in Toronto. Reportedly, it's a 14-year extension, $500 million. No deferrals, so only Juan Soto has a higher present-day value than Vladdy. The Red Sox hammered the Cardinals 18-7 on Sunday Night Baseball for a doubleheader sweep at Fenway. 6 RBI for Alex Bregman. Boston's won 5 in a row overall, and it is not the Dodgers or the Padres atop the NL West this morning.
Well, here's Wilmer Flores. And a base hit! And here comes Matos, and this game is over!
If you told me Wilmer Flores was 60, I would believe you. This gets in the majors for that long. Game-ending RBI single on NBC Sports Bay Area. His Giants, a 5-4 win over the Mariners. They've won 7 in a row. They are 8-1 overall, which is why they're ahead of 2-loss LA and 2-loss San Diego in that division. Today's Tigers-Yankees game now starting at 3:10 Eastern. 1 o'clock starts tomorrow and Wednesday because the Detroit nighttime forecast has wind chills in the 20s for the next few days.
That's baseball weather.
They will play in the sunshine, quote unquote.
Yeah, like instead. What's the high today?
Yeah.
40?
Well, I want to look that up now.
As we all expected, the Lakers went to OKC yesterday afternoon and crushed the Thunder 126-99. Luka with 30 and 6 assists.
Very tough to play here. Very tough to win, obviously. But, you know, and look at the standings today. It's crazy in the West, so we needed this win badly.
I think this is the stat I saw quickly on TV this morning. The Thunder trailed by 20-plus points for more minutes yesterday than they had cumulative over the entire season.
I'm sorry, say that again?
The Thunder were down by 20-plus points for more game minutes yesterday than the total of all of the games before yesterday.
That's amazing.
That sounds right.
Did they have a game where they were down 20 the whole time and then just turned it on and won it recently? Remember?
I don't know if it was 20, but there was a game where they were down. It was like, all right, let's just turn it on.
So that was sarcasm when you meant the Lakers. Of course we knew this was going to happen.
The beginning, it was sarcasm.
Yeah. I didn't know. I thought maybe half the Thunder were sitting out or something.
No, I checked the box score. They were all playing.
No, everybody played.
Yeah. No, I didn't. You lost me with that one.
Sorry. Are you even paying attention?
Here's the funny part about this, right? So the Thunder have this all-time team, right?
Yeah.
It's shaping up that way. Like, really, an all-time team by certain metrics.
By wins, yeah.
So if they don't win the title now, is this like a huge disappointment? Because I still think people believe they're unproven and untested and, you know, they haven't been to the finals yet. I don't think they're feeling the type of pressure that most teams who have this kind of record and this kind of success
They haven't hit their growing pains yet.
Well, I think that you do have the Celtics looming out there, so that kind of changes it a little bit.
If they get to the finals, I think maybe that some of that dissipates, but if they don't get out of the West, I think some of that starts to.
But all time, so they're 6.
Like, think about the Warriors with their 73 wins.
Think about the Nuggets, right? Like, Jokic was winning those MVPs, and for years it was like he's a stat patter. They're not really winning.
Yeah.
And it
same
was,
with the Giannis.
Yeah, exactly.
Seems to be the way it goes. Yeah,
I
feel
like the Thunder are getting that kind of pressure. I think they're getting a lot of praise.
I think to Manny's point, they're so young. Like, they're younger than both the Nuggets and the Bucks were. Like, I mean, some of these guys, Chet Holmgren's like 21. Like, Jalen Williams is like 22. Like, these are...
But Shea's going to win MVP.
Right. But he's a young player. He's not even 25 or 26, I think, 25? Right? Yeah. So, it's such a young team. I think some people are expecting that when the playoffs come, they may slip up.
They're the favorites over the Celtics, but barely. Plus 160, and Celtics are plus 215. Also, some of these teams in the West, we were talking about, like, they've been, I don't want to say playing possum, but there are a lot of teams that are way better than their win record. Like, you honestly think, like, the T-Wolves are a 46 win. There are a lot of teams who haven't played anybody. I don't know.
But
I think the West is going to be brutal.
Yeah, but aren't we also in the part of the year where you can't have to kind of stop making those arguments? Like, if they were better than that, why aren't they better than that?
Well, that's the whole, could they flip the switch in the playoffs and become dangerous, like the Miami Heat?
I mean, T-Wolves are the team, right? They're surging a bit, aren't they? Now they were on and off, and now they're hot again, I thought.
Guys are sleeping on what the really big story is for this
Knicks?
Week in the NBA. No.
Thank you,
folks.
Yes, no, what?
I'm good.
Jeez, I have no idea where you're going.
Me neither.
Luka goes back to Dallas this week, guys. Come on.
They're already dead. To quote Homer Simpson in the Krusty, he's already dead.
Hey, they might make the playoffs. Are you joking? They're the last playing team right now.
The emotion of it, is Nico going to be there? Like, he went to the Mavs-Laker game?
He was smart. He would not show his face.
No, don't do that.
That story,
guys,
like,
I think he
died.
Has to show up and do it. I think I think Nico Harrison, the GM who traded away Luka Doncic, one of the most unpopular moves in the history of sports, he's got to show up.
Did you see the way that the Pirates fans treated the owner of the team? I mean, it's going to be worse with Nico.
Well, you're covering up the Roberto Clemente logo with something for vodka.
Well, I think it goes deeper than that with the Pirates. But I mean,
their payroll is 40 cents.
It's going to be a similar sight.
Stopped showing fans on the big screen because they kept showing guys chanting "Fire Nico." So what is going to be when Doncic is actually back in the building?
Well, the Pirates are just cheap. Nico's an idiot, right? Isn't that the...
Pirates are idiots, too.
Are they? Or are they just trying to save money? What are they idiots? They're just collecting paychecks from MLB.
Oh, no. They're idiots in taking off the Clemente number, thinking no one's going to notice. Yeah, for money. I get it, but you got to put it somewhere else.
Perloff just made the Johnny Manziel money sign.
But Nico thought he was going to win a championship with Anthony Davis.
And they thought no one was going to notice the Roberto Clemente logo being taken off the wall by a beautiful rainbow can of Surfside vodka lemonade.
Delicious.
That is dumb.
Consistent with the Pirates' MO, though.
Yeah.
They're lucky they got Skeens.
For now. But they're not even building around Skeens.
Of course not, Manny. Have you met the Pirates? They never do this.
This is so frustrating.
But they're not going to trade Skeens and be like, we're going to win a title with the new guys we got, even though they're old and injury prone.
No, I can't wait for Skeens to be a Yankee or a Dodger.
Or a Dodger.
Not anything against their fans, but I wish terrible organizations like the Pirates didn't have such beautiful stadiums. They don't deserve it. They got maybe the most beautiful stadium in all of Major League Baseball with
Solely
the backdrop
based over stadium.
And all that stuff. Thank you, Manny. And it's just being wasted. You know how many great playoff games we could have in that atmosphere if they were actually good?
PNC Park, by the way.
So do you guys want a hard salary cap?
No, I want a floor. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I want.
Which is rather a floor.
Okay.
They're connected. I get it, but I want a floor. I want teams to have to spend money. There's they were running crazy stats on Yes Network this weekend during these Yankee Pirate games. The Pirates haven't signed a free agent to a multi-year contract since 2016.
Yeah.
Don't look at me. I didn't do it, Bogues.
That's a problem. Explain it,
yeah.
Pearl.
Ohtani's not a problem. That's a problem.
I didn't put up the vodka ad.
It's delicious, by the way.
Did you sign off on it, though? Did you? No, yeah. You love Roberto Clemente.
At the end of the day, I did not trade Anthony Davis for Anthony Davis and think that this guy...
You just want Nico to be able not... He should be publicly shamed. Like Cersei in Game of Thrones.
I can't believe anybody who even goes to a Mavericks game. I don't understand why anyone in Dallas would root for that team.
We got to take a quick break. 888-710-4ISN. Okay, question for you. Is Duke's collapse going to follow John Shire to the NBA? That's on the table for you. And is Gino Auriemma the greatest college coach of all time? He's got 12 titles now. 888-710-4ISN. Welcome back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, so glad to have you. Again, you can vote right now The poll is open. Maggie and Perloff movie sequel bracket. We're here. We're at the championship, guys. This is it. And ladies, Godfather 2 against Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. It's a one versus a one, just like tonight with Houston and Florida. And so go and vote now for the greatest movie sequel ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around this Houston-Florida matchup. It's not... It's a very unpredictable game to me. The fact that I was sure Houston had lost, and there's been three or four times during this tournament where I was sure Florida was out. It's just Walter Clayton is just so clutch. I'm leaning Florida. I'm going to go
with Houston. I'm rolling with Houston in this one. I think they're still being undervalued somehow. How many Dukes do you have to beat to finally get some respect?
I mean, what's the spread? It's
one.
I mean, that's against Florida. I think that's a lot of respect. You don't think that's respect?
Well, they started off as a 1.5-point favorite, and Florida got bet as the favorite now, a 1-point favorite. Let's go to JT, who's in Atlanta. JT, is the loss for Duke going to follow Cooper Flagg to the NBA?
Definitely not, because I think he's going to have a dominant NBA career. I think that he's generational talent, obviously. But it's not like it was his fault. He didn't, you know, dribble it off his foot. He didn't, you know, make a play. We all know that over the back really wasn't it. But I would say, you know, in regard to your point, Maggie, earlier about that Bohemian Rhapsody, I don't know how they don't get it. You can have a great performance and a sucky movie. That one does not determine the other.
Give me another one, JT, off the top of your head. Go.
I don't have an example of one, but I'm just telling you, just because one performance is good doesn't necessarily make the movie good. You can act, but not the plot could still fall short. And I think that's what Maggie's saying in regards to that. And I hate that this is the finals as far as this Empire and the – because those are two of my favorite movies, and I just have no idea who to vote for.
Who to vote for? Get your burners out. Yeah, that's our final in our movie sequel bracket. JT, thanks for calling in. It's Godfather 2 against Empire Strikes Back. Then we got into a biopic, musical biopic conversation. I forgot even how we did that. I don't like Bohemian Rhapsody. Perloff likes it. I'll give you another one where the acting performance was good, but the movie was not good, is a movie, that Elvis movie, where the guy who played Elvis was great, but you said you hated Tom Hanks as the Colonel. And didn't really love the movie overall, but we all know that Elvis, what's that guy's name?
Austin Butler,
that he was fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. If JT had made that, it would have been even better because he was. But generally, though, I'm just saying, if you have a movie with the best actor, it can't be that awful because the actor's on screen for 90% of the movie in a biopic. I generally think that's a sign of strength to have the best actor. By the way, I'm looking at some best actors. There are not a lot of bad movies on here. Daniel Day-Lewis is Lincoln. I don't remember that movie at all.
Oh, that came out not that long ago.
It was 2012. Yeah, generally, if you have a best actor, then it's probably a pretty good movie.
Can I tell you?
Would you give me that, at least?
Empire Strikes Back is leading here. Early voting. Early returns are in.
Yeah.
Curious if you're surprised by that at all.
Well, I mean, it's Empire Strikes Back. Talking about one of the all-time... It's an all-time sequel, too, because a lot of people think it's better than Star Wars.
It is awesome. Also, did you like the movie Bohemian Rhapsody? 68% of you are saying yes. All right. I guess I'm taking the L on this.
Well, it's got a pretty good Rotten Tomatoes line. It was a popular movie.
I thought it stunk.
Stunk? Because it wasn't realistic enough? Who even knows the real story of Queen?
All I know is they had a lot of hits. Thank you to E.J. Stewart. And that is your Captain Obvious moment of the day. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez.
The question is, how will Houston and Florida do under pressure? Bum, 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 bum.
Pretty good. Thank you, Bogus Rami Levy. See you.